Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening, Blog Talk listeners. Welcome to the Ladder House Bible Enrichment Hour, hosted by Granny's Place. Tonight, we want to give a shout out to our partners, Beverly Beasley of Granny's Place, who is our president, who generously sponsors the Ladder House for us. We want to give a shout-out to her pastor of the First Free Will Baptist Church, Dr. Richard Terry. And then we want to say hello to my pastor, Pastor Michael Morgan, Sr. of the Shady Grove Primitive Baptist Church here in Dallas. We thank you for joining us tonight, and we want to go ahead and tell you that the Ladder House is a people predestined to restore virtue in a society barren of spiritual and moral excellence through a message of the gospel of the kingdom of God and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. It is our earnest desire to join a diverse generation for the purpose of connecting and developing other champions. In a technologically advanced society, we deliberately create platforms, special events, seminars, conventions, and fellowships in which the wounded and the unusually gifted can find aid and a place of appreciation. Our aim is to continuously create an environment of love, unity, faith, and victory in which all can discover the champion within. We invite you to be a part of our important project. Prayerfully consider partnering with us as we build platform where the true nature of God can freely be experienced and expressed by all. For more information, please send your email inquiry to letterhouse.gmail.com. I'm sorry, that may be incorrect. I have written it down here and it's not on the back of the script. Okay, but we will give you the address shortly. But we're going to now turn the floor over to our sister on the line holding on to say hello to everyone and give the greeting for tonight. Sister Amber?
Thank you. Thank you very much. Hello, everyone. Of course, this is the Ladder House, our Bible Enrichment Hour, and it's an honor to be here on Granny's Place here at Blog Talk Radio. You can find us on social media at Our Ladder House everywhere. That's on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Just be on the lookout for Our Ladder House for inspiration, for updates on what's going on with our movement, and feel free to drop your prayer requests there as well. We're located at 1745 West Vernon Avenue in Los Angeles, California. If you are ever in town, feel free to stop by for some Southern hospitality on the West Coast at 11:30 a.m. every day. And you can catch us on our New Day prayer call Monday through Friday, where you can be uplifted, inspired, sharing testimonies and prayer requests there as well every morning at 6 o'clock a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And we're here every Tuesday evening, come back for a double dip of inspiration and enlightenment here at Granny's Place on Blog Talk Radio at 6:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. If you have any callers, if there's anyone who would like to say where they're calling, a roll call of where everyone's listening in from.
Hey, this is Shanine. I'm listening in from El Segundo, California.
Hello, Shanine. Good to hear you.
This is Lacey calling in from L.A.
Hello, Sister Lacey.
Hey.
Listen, I would like to try something different today. You know, this is Tuesday, and I'm sure, like, we all have a week of expectations this week. I'm curious to know, like, what are we decreeing and declaring this week? Don't everybody speak at once.
We're giving our praises to God. This is Sister Lewis, and I am praying and declaring freedom of mind. I just want God to just clear my mind so I can be able to study His Word more clearly and understand. With the help of Dr. Carter and you all, I want to develop a more study life, more prayer life. Well, I have a good prayer life, I think, but I want to get into study more and actually go back to school. So I want you to pray that for me so I can declare that I'll come across the funds and the tenacity to do it.
We'll definitely be praying for you, and we decree and declare with you as well. Sister Shanine, do you have something you'd like to decree and declare?
Oh, well, that's a great question. Hadn't really processed it that way, but thank you for that reminder. Various different things. One thing I like to decree and declare on a daily basis is that my words are used to heal and bless and to empower and prosper. That every person that I come in contact with a chain, or is a link rather, in the chain for my good. I also like to start implementing the things that we are being taught regularly. And one thing Dr. Carter reminded us of this week was about our adjustments and what adjustments do I need to make to go higher, be it bigger or small, and understanding even the small adjustments make big change. So I'm decreeing and declaring that I will hear and move according to the Holy Spirit to make the necessary adjustments that I need to make and be instrumental in making so that I can go higher.
And, of course, we're decreeing and declaring with you as well. Is there anyone else that would like to share? Well, for myself, I would like to decree and declare restoration over my life, my family's life, and just in every aspect of my life. I believe that God is at work, even in the midst of difficult times. I'm really seeing God at work, and I'm going to continue to decree and declare that God is definitely at work in my lives and in the lives of others and those that I come into contact with.
Amen. That's good. That's a good reminder. Thank you for that.
Well, of course, here at the Ladder House, we are a movement, not just a ministry, but a movement of restoration. You can reach us via email at thelhnetwork@gmail.com if you would like to send any prayer requests, or if you would just like to send anything to our email, we can be reached there. Sister Shanine, would you like to share any kind of medical, would you like to share any tips or health tips that you have?
Well, this morning I actually shared just a reminder tip in regards to the importance of how we start our day, remembering that we are breaking a fast. And the first thing in the morning is what we do and what we eat is very important. We talked again about lemon water and the importance of the warmth of the water and the lemon water helping in the digestive system, helping curbing appetites, helping in the lymphatic system. It helps in a multitude of ways on various different levels, and just sharing with people to remind them of that, as well as adding more water to your diet on a regular basis. People are always, I'm learning that people are looking for alternatives to things like sodas and just better information to drink healthier as well, too. And one thing I had talked about earlier, not this week, but earlier, in the health tips was in regards to adding fruit to your water. It's like an infused water. They now have devices now that you can actually put the fruit in and drop into a pitcher of water and things so that the fruit is actually mixed in to the water. You can do it the evening before. You can do it an hour or two before you get ready to drink your water to just add flavor to your water. I'm finding in some of the places, I do Uber, finding out in some of the places where I'm delivering that they're also having infused water. A lot of the hotels have it now. The spas have had it for years, but I'm finding it everywhere now because people are trying to take control of their health. We're actually taking control of their health and being more mindful of what they put into their body, and that's a good way to get your liquids in, your water in a healthy way.
We're so thankful for Sister Shanine. That's one thing that I can definitely say that I have benefited from by being a part of the Ladder House, is that we don't necessarily just focus on just the spiritual man, but we focus on the whole body, and, you know, being led by Dr. Shelton Carter. That is a blessing here at the Ladder House, you know, regarding full restoration and being at your best so you can increase God's kingdom. We don't necessarily just focus on just one thing. It's really a holistic approach to encamping God's kingdom here at the Ladder House.
Amen, amen. It's a wonderful thing to be able to be under a ministry with such in tune with God in that fashion, and helping us to be whole, spirit, soul, and body. I think sometimes as Christians we forget about that. We're good at taking care of each of others. We're real good at, you know, helping the sisters, the brothers out, the neighbors out, the things of that nature. But we forget ourselves, and I'm learning that in order to help do the things that we're purposed to do, or be more purposeful, or be more effective, rather, in the things that we do, we have to take care of ourselves, spirit, soul, and body. We take time out to pray. We take time out to intercede on the behalf of others. But how much time are we taking for ourselves? How much time are we taking to not only increase our personal relationship and our interaction with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and allowing the person of the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us, but how much time are we taking to do the things that God has empowered us to do? I mean, we are assigned here to do greater things than what Jesus did. That's what he told us when he left this earth. He sent us the Holy Spirit to do so. But how many times are we going through our day, or going through our schedule, to see, Lord, how can I be effective for you, Lord? How can I be better in myself, or do better with myself, so I can be more effective in the things that you would have me to do, and the things that I'm called to do or called to be a part of? And one of the things that I've learned is that the health is very instrumental. Being raised in a Baptist church, I've seen a lot of people go through various different things, and the witness or the testimony to others seems to be watered down, kind of, because we always talk about God, how God will make a way, God is a healer, and it seems like every time we go into a church, and being raised in a Baptist church, that's my frame of reference, it's like people are sick, everybody's sick, nobody's expecting a healing, they're expecting to be sick. Oh, that's just part of life. Oh, we're going to have some woes. Oh, we're going to have some troubles. But nobody is expecting to go through it and have a testimony. They're expecting to stay in it, and this is my cross to bear, or other different sayings and phrases that we are not even aware of how they originated. And I'm finding out that now the kingdom of God, or the people that are more kingdom-minded, are not only trying to be careful of what they say and how they say it, but how they are representing the Lord in the various different arenas that they're going in. Not just how they speak, but how they look, how are they presenting God to people, because sometimes that's the only God that or the Lord or the experience of God that people will ever run into is one of us. And if we are downtrodden, the car's broken, busted, we got the bumper sticker holding on the bumper, you know, saying Jesus is Lord. You know, it's like who wants to serve a God like that? We're not representing God well. So I'm seeing people more and more mindful of how they represent God these days in spirit, soul, and body. And one of the things that Dr. Carter is graciously sharing with us on a regular basis is sharing your experience and learning from that experience, understanding the personal development exercises and putting it in perspective, putting things in order, getting your mind to a point where you're expecting, you appreciate those tweaks, those little nudges on the shoulder, those training exercises, because it better prepares you and equips you to do the work that God is calling you to do. So don't poo-poo them, or don't negate them, but understand the process and understand the journey. We're not just getting better for ourselves, but we're getting better and we're learning so that we can be effective in the various areas we go into. So I find that it's just always a wonderful opportunity to learn when you have the opportunity to spend time with people of the Ladder House and under the direction of our founder and overseer, Dr. Shelton Carter.
Thank you, Sister Shanine.
Not sure who else has come to the line, though. So I know Sister Lacey was on, and I know she's been very instrumental in helping us bring people into the house and things of that nature. I don't know if she'd like to share some tips on how she does that, how she gets the people, rallies the people into the house. That would be great to know today.
It's not really, I don't really have like any tricks or anything. I kind of just let what I've been taking in and learning and receiving since I've been under Pastor Carter in the Ladder House. And I kind of let that be my witness. I just be me. And I'm not afraid to be who God has called me to be at this point. I'm not afraid to share it or speak on it with boldness. And so in me being me, people ask me, well, how did you get to this point from being depressed to now smiling? And that's when I have, that's my moment to say, well, because of this ministry and because of this pastor and what I have received since being here, this is how I've gotten to the point that I've gotten to. And that's really it. There's really no tricks to it. I don't have no set, no dialogue. I don't write, sit down and write it out and practice what I'm going to say. I usually let the Spirit lead me and where I'm going, and usually the Holy Spirit will bring that person in, will bring us into contact, creating the opportunity for us to have that moment. And whenever that moment happens, I just do it with no fear. So that's just really it. I just let what's been going on with me and how this ministry has changed my life, I let that lead.
Well, amen, amen. I see Dr. Carter has come to the line. Dr. Carter, are you ready now? You have the floor, sir.
Yes, I am. I am, I believe so. Amen. Can you hear me well?
Hear you well.
Very good. Amen. Encouraged by what was being said tonight. I was listening to Sister Lacey, and she was sharing something key that that it's very simple. It's just letting your light so shine. You just let your light so shine, and if your light shines, people will identify your light, and they'll trace you. Amen. They'll trace you to that source of that light. And so God bless you. It was encouraging to know that, you know, sharing and witnessing to others that which you have heard and learned. Amen. This is why I share with people that our responsibility is not to grab it all for ourselves, but our responsibility is to help others in it as well. Amen.
Amen.
If you can mute your line, you're kind of, I don't know who was. Amen. Thank you. And so I was, again, thank you to everybody that reached out and said happy birthday and all those things. I appreciate it. I was kind of relaxed, amen, even as of right now, but was ready also in, to do what it is that the Lord is requiring, calling for us to do tonight. I want us to look, amen, at Ephesians, as you all were talking. I was led to Ephesians, amen. Ephesians chapter 4, I believe this is where I want to go tonight. Ephesians chapter 4. Yes, Lord. Ephesians chapter 4. And yes, we're just going to do a study on Ephesians 4, if you would. And we'll just go through the chapter. Amen. If there's anyone that doesn't have wind and pots and pans and those kind of things, I would love to have you unmuted. I don't like having the insecurity, not knowing that you're not there. I'm not able to look at a switchboard or anything like that. And so anyone that can be unmuted, that you would tonight. Amen.
Come on.
Let's start with let's start at verse number 1 again. We'll just call this a browse through Ephesians 4. Amen. Ephesians 4. I believe that Ephesians is a great book that reveals to us and shows us the power and the purpose of the church. The church, and when we talk about the church, we're talking about the body of believers. So I believe that it reveals to us our purpose, and it also reveals to us our power, and it also shows us our potential. And we want to get past our potentials so we can start moving in our purpose and doing our purpose with pronounced and obvious measures of power. Power. The power of God is with us. It's working through us. And there's a how-to and how this works. And so first Paul admits in Ephesians 4:1, he calls himself the prisoner of the Lord. And as the prisoner of the Lord, he is admitting his conviction, his dedication, his honor to the Lord. He says, I'm a prisoner. In one place, he says, I'm the bondservant of the Lord. Another place, he says, I'm chained to this gospel. And as you know, Paul, again, was a prisoner, not only in purpose, but he's literally was a prisoner in prosecution, in the natural world. For the sake and the cause of Christ, as to say that no matter what happens to me, I'm bound to this calling. And he says, he tells us starting off, he says, I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling wherewith you were called. You were called. And again, who is Paul addressing? He is addressing the church or the called out body of believers who have named the name of Christ at Ephesus. And he says to those Christians there, to these first century Christians, he says, look, he said, I want you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. And then he says, then he goes on to teach them how you should do this. He says, with lowliness, with gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. He goes on to say that there is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, as you were called in one hope of your calling. So you were called, obviously, you were called before you actually was worthy of the calling in which you were called. And this is why he has to instruct you on how to walk in your calling.
Mm-hmm.
So he gives you the calling, and then he teaches you how to come up to the level of the calling in which you were called, so that he hopes that you come to the level of your calling, which means that you can have a calling that you individually are not at the level personally to receive or to walk in or to measure up to the amount, the capacity, the weight of the calling. That's why when you see someone operating in their calling, you see some releases of glory happening over them. That word glory, amen, it speaks of weight.
Uh-huh.
It means to be heavy weighted. So he said, until you come up to the measure of that weight, and he's teaching you how to get to the measure of the weight. And one of the things he says is you have to walk in this calling in lowliness, in gentleness, because again, wherever you are and whatever you are and whatever you shall become, you can only do that or become that by the grace of God, which gives you permission, right, and the influence to get it done. Yes, because there's two words for grace. Yes, we deal with the grace of God, but we also deal with the divine influence upon the heart. That is the power of the grace that gives you the ability to get things done you could not get done. And so we understand it is by grace that we're doing whatever it is that we're doing, perfection. And so therefore, it is best for us to stay lowly and not high-minded and learn to be gentle so that, you understand what I'm saying, be gentle with long-suffering, bearing with one another. Bearing with one another, bearing with one another, being able to deal with somebody else. He says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body, one spirit, just as you were called in one hope, your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But to each one of us, grace was given.
Mm-hmm.
Grace was given according to the measure of the Christ gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, speaking of Christ Jesus, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. And he's talking about the ascension from the three-day battle, if you would, that went on in the pits of hell at the death of Jesus. And part of that death is that he went into captivity and released the captives, amen, and also released the gifts. He released the gifts. The gifts were in the pit and in the grass and in the hands of hell. The gifts. And this is important because the gifts that he unlocked them, and then he gave them to men. And he gave some. Let's read it. He says, therefore, he says, he ascended on high, and he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended, what does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. So not only did he go to the lower regions of the earth, but he also ascended past the highest heavens, which means that he is above all thrones, all names, all principalities. He is above. He that descended, ascended, and he ascended high. And the Bible says he descended is also the one who ascended far above the heavens that he might fill all things, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. He himself gave as a gift of grace. He that descended into the lower regions, unlocked the captives, took the gifts back, and the gift that he took back, he gave, and he gave to men. And the gift that he gave to men was, he gave some to be an apostle, some a prophet, some an evangelist, some pastors, and some teachers. He gave himself. He gave it by grace. And it is a gift. Oh, my God. A gift. It is by grace. It's not something that I earned. It's something that he did. And he took something and gave that something to me, amen, that was once in the grips and in the hands of the pits of hell. The apostolic ministry was held captive. And he went and unlocked the gift. Do you not know that Satan has been tending for those gifts ever since they've been unlocked? What gift is he after? He's after your apostle. He's after your prophet. Yes, he's after your evangelist. And he's definitely after your pastors. And he's after your teachers. Why do you say you're a pastor? Because Christ himself gave gifts to men. And the gifting that he gave to men
apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, or evangelist, the whole purpose of why he gave them gifts is found in verse 11, verse 12. For the equipping, and I believe the King James says, for the perfecting of the saints, so that they may do the work of the ministry, for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ. He gave a man taken back from the pits of hell, and hell has been contending for that gift ever since it has been taken back. He's not after the preacher. He's after the gift. That's why some preachers will never, ever go through some of the stuff that someone that has the gift. What gift? The grace gift that is the Christ gift that was given by grace. The Christ gift, the Christos, the anointed, the anointing. Everybody that is preaching don't have an anointing, although from time to time their gift operates under an anointing. There is a difference between being anointed and operating under an anointing. Because there is an anointing on your gift, but there's also an anointing in your assignment. And so sometimes you can be in an assignment and the anointing visits you in that assignment, but there's other times where you're not in assignment at all, just the anointing is on your gift, which is a particular type of gift now. And the gift we are referring to now is the five that's listed here, the apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist. One of those gifts are referred to commonly as the fivefold ministry gifts. I like to call them the ascension gifts or the ascending gifts, the gift that ascended not only above the earth, but those gifts that are ascended even above the heavens. Somebody say, make that make sense to you. You got to understand, now we're talking about authority. This is why when someone that has the gift and the anointing on that gift as well as in the assignment, when they are in their gift, they can speak to your darkness, your sickness, and your disease, and it will dispel because they have authority, that they understand their authority in their positioning. So that's why it's important that when you connect with a ministry, you understand what gifting is in that ministry or over that ministry. And again, because we have wrongfully divided this area, we are calling, help me, Jesus, we're calling evangelists pastors, but they're really evangelists. And we're calling apostles, amen, teachers, but they're really apostles. And we're trying to make them pastors, but they're not pastors because they're prophets. And so we have someone that has a prophetic calling, and we're trying to make them a pastoral work. But because you don't understand that funk and that gifting, that grace upon it, everybody's operating under the same title, but don't understand its function, because they don't have the grace to function in that function. The anointing comes with that grace to function in that function, and you have to understand which one you are anointed to function in. And so you could very well be a, yes, everybody has a pastor over their church, but you got to understand what grace is on your pastor. And therefore, whatever grace is on your pastor will spill over onto you, and therefore that grace will cause you to be able to start witnessing to others too. Because if he's a people person, then that grace suggests that he has a pastoral grace on his life, and you find other additional graces, such as a teacher that operates up under a prophetic unction, and I don't have time to break down the different functions and identifying factors that you could draw from as it relates to the different the five different individual offices, whether it is apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist. And again, you can operate under more than one of them. You may have all five of them. I don't know. But you need to identify which ones that's in your house, in your congregation, that's overseeing the body that you are with. Therefore, you can draw from that grace. Remember, we spoke a few days ago that we consider those whose faith we follow and not their former conversations or lifestyle. We consider their faith, what grace is up on that man of God. If you notice, if the man of God is ornery and non-forgiving, then you notice that the people becomes judgmental and critical. But when the overseer is loving and kind, then the people are a little more gracious and forgiving, because the grace that is on the head flows throughout the body. You got to understand the grace on their life. What is the grace? What is his grace? Because God is calling you to the grace, because whatever gifting is over that particular body, he himself gave gifts to men in the form of an apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist, who has authority to speak into somebody of believers' life, because he gave those gifts to men so that they may equip the saints, so that the saints can do the work of the ministry. He says in verse 12, he says, for the equipping of the saints, this is why he gave you a pastor, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist, whatever he gave you, and you identify that gifting and that grace upon him. And it's because that gifting is for the equipping of the saints. Why do the saints need to be equipped? The saints need to be equipped because the saints are the ones that's going to do the work of the ministry, not the pastor. The pastor's job is to equip the saints. I was sharing the other day how annoyed I was. I just was appalled because I believe that people are really paying attention. Such as something that I repeated because I knew that it was a landmark, and I knew it was a revelation or a lesson that the people actually had to have. And you're believing that they are getting this stuff, and to find out that, you know, they'll listen to you talk for an hour and a half and they ain't heard nothing you said. They ain't wrote nothing. They washing dishes. They eating. They calling mom and them back. They texting. They doing all kind of stuff, and not realizing that this is a time that we are fellowshipping not only in the Word, but we are fellowshipping with the Word. And when you fellowship with the Word, you understand that the words that I speak, they are spirit and life, Jesus said. And so this word fellowship that we're having is with life and the spirit, and we're wondering why we're not being edified, because that's the purpose of the gift in your life. He says that he's giving you one of these gifts that he may equip you so that you can, so the body of Christ can be edified. We're doing this, we're casual believers, and therefore we're missing an opportunity to grow in spirit and in life, because we haven't yet solidified that this word is truth. Jesus said it best in John 14. He says, thy word is truth. This stuff that's going on in my life ain't the truth. Thy word is truth. The facts are not the truth, but thy word is truth. My doctor's report is not the truth. Thy word is truth. By his stripes I am healed. I am rich and abundantly supplied. I'm above and not beneath. I'm more than a conqueror. His word is the truth. But when those that have been graced to equip you through the word comes to you, you miss it because you haven't learned to approach it yet as truth and life, and that it is spirit. And whether you know it or not, you and I are in the spirit right now. That's why we can be in two different time zones and still feel the same thing. That's why that Holy Spirit, who is omnipresent, who is the spirit of that word, can break forth on a group of people in diverse places all at the same time through one line, because there is one body, one spirit. Just as you were called in one hope of your calling, there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So that God who is in Texas is in California. That God who is on Central Standard Time is the God that's on Pacific Standard Time, and he's communicating to you. God graced him for you. Whoever he is, whoever she is, whoever your pastors are, whoever your leaders are, God graced them for you. And if you don't identify the grace that is for you, own house. And there's no way you can be edified because you can't be equipped. You only can be equipped if somebody has the supply that you need to equip you. And that is the grace. If they don't have the grace, they can't equip you. I don't care how much you want to. You got to have the grace. And it's not all about what you know theologically. It's not all about what you know scripturally. It's not all about what you know like that. You got to have the grace. The grace. Let me just look at something real quick. Turn over, go back to the left. Go look at Ephesians 3. When you get there, say, I've got it. Somebody just let me know you got it. Let me know y'all still online. Let me know somebody's listening tonight. I hope you at least got a Bible. Amen. Ephesians 3.
I got it.
All right, verse number 1. Look what it says. Paul says, for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner, there you go again, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me, which was given to me. See that underline, given to me. This is Paul. Who is Paul? Paul is the apostle of Jesus Christ. Apostle is one that is sent. Paul is sent. Paul was sent, and he was sent. You remember what the Bible says, how can they hear without a preacher, and how can they preach unless they've been sent? Well, if he's been sent, that means he has been sent somewhere, from somewhere, to some place for some reason. And he understands the reason for why he is sent, because he understands the vision for why he is sent. In other words, an apostle is just not going. But when you hear me say an apostolic work, I'm talking about a work that is sent. I like to say the latter house is an apostolic work because it is sent. It is not designed to stay stationary in one place. It must move. And so I understand that our ability to be effective is going to be in our ability to move. You have to move. Yes, we have headquarters. Yes, we'll have different worship sites and those kind of things. But the whole design is that you build a ministry that is sent and able to be flexible and moving. Go into the highways and compel them to come, to go into different places, to go ye therefore in the world. That's what we're designed to do. And when we're moving, then we're more effective. But as long as we're standing still, ain't nobody coming up in there. You got to go out there so that men can see your light. Your light. I understand that is an evangelistic calling on my life. There is no way and nowhere that God has sent me as a gift and I've been out that there was not change. There was not an explosion or a breakthrough of his spirit, because I understand that's what I'm anointed to do, to go out. Yeah. And so I have to design our ministry in a way that it can go out. Paul says there's a dispensation of grace that is up on my life. This dispensation, it speaks of stewardship. He says, I've been given this stewardship. I've been given this thing of this grace that has been dispensed on my life, which was given to me, and it was given to me, verse number 2, for you. Paul says, this grace that you see coming out of me, it was given to me. Now, notice what he said. It was given. I did not earn it. Pencil in the box. And definitely wasn't the cleanest. It was given to me. That's what Paul said. He said, it was a grace that was given to me, and it was given to me for you, that how that by revelation, underline revelation, verse 3. Revelation, the word is apokaluptos. It means to uncover or to reveal. He said, how that by this revelation or this spirit of revelation, he made known to me the mysteries as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand what my knowledge, Paul is saying, in the mystery of Christ. He says, this grace was given to me for you, that I can make known to you this revelation that God gave to me, so that you may know the mysteries by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery, and in the mystery of Christ, or in that anointed one, in his anointing, that I may know, or I am going to make known to you by revelation, this mystery. How are you going to make known, how are you going to get this revelation? Why do you get this kind of revelation? Well, you get this kind of revelation because there is a grace on him. There's a grace on him. And this grace came along with that position I told you about. And when you understand which one belongs to you, and it could be more than one, you got to find out which one your man of God walks in. Apostolic, sent. He has a pastoral heart. Yes, he does. He has a teaching mantle on his life. Yes. Mm-hmm. Then we're finding out that when he goes, that people mm-hmm. are responding. Mm-hmm. So it might be an evangelistic calling on his life. Huh. Mm-hmm. And then I've seen him walk under the prophetic.
Huh.
See, this is why he's not there just for you to take notes, but you got to observe him with your spirit.
Okay.
So you can take up that grace and utilize that grace and apply that grace to your life. You remember Elisha followed Elijah. He was he was his his son in ministry. And there was a time that you remember that Elisha performed the same miracle that his father Elijah had performed, and even more. And reason being is because, remember, he got the double portion. Now, the double portion was not a double portion of what Elijah had, but the double portion is when you get your stuff unlocked, because you finally identify your Elijah correctly. You remember that Elijah wasn't the nicest guy to Elisha, and I can tell you why. You remember that it was one time that Elijah told Elisha, he said, look, don't follow me. And Elisha said, no, I'm going to follow you. And he kept following him. He kept referring to him. He said, my master, my master. He kept telling him, my master, my master. And one day, they were all down at the brook, and the Bible says that they said in Kings, he says, the place that we now dwell is too small for us. Let every man take a beam and go to the other side. And so they all had this borrowed axe head in which they were hitting the trees down. And as they were hitting the trees down, the Bible says that the axe head, it flew in and it went into the water. And it sank all the way to the bottom of the water. And they began to call, and then they called the prophet. And the prophet told them to take some sticks, and he threw the sticks in there. And it caused the axe head to float back up based upon the prophetic word spoken to them. Now, the prophet gave them a word that didn't make any sense. But it didn't matter whether or not it made sense or not to them, because they understood the prophetic office that was functioning and the grace that was available in their life. And at a time where you are experiencing deficit or loss is not the time that you misappropriate your gift. That is the time that you need to appropriate your gift so you can pull on the gift that you have. And remember, consider those whose faith you follow, Hebrews said, and not considering their former conversation or lifestyle. You should find their faith because you want the grace. And so sometimes when you see your servants go through hell, they are going through hell so that you can be equipped. How is that equipping you? Because you're learning the grace on their life, especially when you see them float like a butterfly, sting like a bee, and get out like Houdini. Then you understand there's something coming to you, because just as they appropriated the prophetic gift in their life, they also had a spirit of unction and interpretation on their life, and they begin to say after that moment, they said, we can sense that our master is going to be taken away from us. And so they knew that. And so they said, let everyone go ahead, and they went forward and started doing their thing. But notice what Elisha did. Elisha went on with Elijah even though they knew he was going to be taken away. And you remember the chariot came and he took him home to glory. But the Bible said that Elisha followed Elijah all the way. He was referring to my master, my master, my master, my master. He stood there all the way, even to the point that when Elijah was taken up into the cloud, he kept his eyes fixed on him all the way until he was out of sight. And the moment that he was out of sight, he went from calling him my master, to my father, and at that moment, Paul says it like this. He says, Paul says, you have not many fathers, although you have 10,000 instructors and 1,000 instructors in the Lord. Anybody can, not anybody, but there's more people that can instruct you. That could be, then that is ordained to be one of those giftings set above your head. One of those apostolic ascension gifts, fivefold ministry gifts over your head. Elisha knew that his master was being taken away. But you remember Elijah at one time told Elisha, he said, don't follow me. And Elisha said, no, I recognize that you're the grace that I need for my life, and I'm going with you even though you're acting obnoxious, even though you're rude and overbearing sometimes. I'm not after you personally. I'm after the grace on your life. And because the grace of God that I've seen on your life, displayed on your life, I'm after the grace. I'm after the grace. And so Elisha followed him all the way to the end. And the moment that he was taken out of view, he said, my father. And at that moment, that's when the mantle fell. And that's when Elisha caught Elijah's mantle. And what's happened at that moment, Elisha's giftings were unlocked. Because now he received Elijah's mantle. What are you saying, Pastor? The double portion is when you get his stuff and your stuff. And because I was faithful to people, God gave me their stuff. He gave me this stuff. Oh, my, but now I'm coming into he's unlocking mine. And
in this transfiguring moment that's happening, this transfiguration that's happening, this change that's overtaking everybody. Oh, changing in his glory. There's a cloud Jesus talks about came over him. But also there was a light that shined through him. And he was transfigured, and his disciples saw it. They saw that light. They came to the moment that they was able to see the light that was in them. Man, there's nothing more assuring than when you get the security of actually knowing what's in your vessel. I'm talking about that God part, like, oh, man, that's rich. But when you won't see nothing coming out of them, and trust me, if it's in there, it'll come out through hard times. If they really got it, it'll come out through hard times. Didn't say they won't get weak, didn't say they wouldn't stumble, but you'll see it come out of them still. Why? Because it's the grace. Sometimes you sit there and you wonder, like, how did they preach like that after that? How did they get a revelation like that? And I ain't talking about a sermon, because I've seen that foolishness where you pretend to be more victorious than you really are just to win the people. And so you preach harder and you skip the pews. And no, you were just active. I'm talking about when a revelation came out of you, something that you couldn't get unless God broke your water. Something that comes from the inside out. For you, this dispensation of grace was given to me, that I may reveal to you by revelation the mysteries. Why are there mysteries? Because a mystery is something that's not easily found. How do you know they have the grace? Because you can read the same scripture all day, all night, 25 years in county, and that scripture won't say no more to you than it's been saying. And then all of a sudden, here he come, and he take that same scripture that we thought we knew, and that scripture don't mean to say no more. And no matter how much you try to make it be what it used to be to you, it can no longer be that to you no more, because the spirit of grace was on him so much that he revealed. What did he do? He pulled back the scriptures for me and showed me a mystery. And now I could see what I couldn't see. And so now I've been infected. And it's hard to act like I don't know what I know. I was all right before he showed up. And now he done messed me up because I could see. And so now when I go to that word, it's whole another meaning to it. It takes on life. It takes on character. I can apply it to my situations, my circumstances. It's not just a good Sunday school lesson now. It convicts me. It corrects me. It shapes me. It is spirit, and it is life. Because God went to hell, unlocked a gift, gave it to a man, graced him to walk in it, revealed it to me, and now I became equipped. And according to Ephesians 4, let's turn back. Anybody bless? Anybody bless?
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Amen.
Ephesians 4 says this. He says he's going to give, he gave it, he himself gave some to be apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists, for the perfecting or the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And the reason God put them in our life to equip us is so that we can grow, be edified as a whole body and unit. He says, verse 13, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Spirit of God, to a perfect man, or a mature man, that word perfect is,
to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that you and I shall no longer be tossed, be children tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love. In other words, God gave me this man or this headship or this gift. And again, I'm not talking about me, but I'm talking about those that God have set over bodies of people so that you can regard them correctly. So when you go to your house of God, you understand what you're supposed to be expecting. Somebody else is going through such a change. You've been influenced by this word so much that you recognize who your grace gift is now. You understand that God is calling you to that gift. And then others, you have been sitting with gifts, and you just didn't know how to what to expect or what to use from them. I was so glad for the dialogue that you guys opened up this evening. I was not even going to teach this tonight. But I'm trying to share with you something, that this is important. Because just as I was sharing with you that Elisha and Elijah's story with Elisha, and there was a school of the prophets and all these other minor prophets that were following Elijah until the point they found out he was about to die. And when they found out that he was about to be taken away, amen, they all went off into their own individual ministries. But look at the faithfulness of Elisha. Ooh. Elisha says that I'm going to be with you all the way. And he stayed there until he was out of view in the clouds, and then he calls him my father, and the Bible calls them the sons of the prophets, the sons of the prophets, prophets plural. But Elisha wasn't a son of the prophets. Elisha was the son of the prophet, and that's why Elisha got the double portion. And therefore, he did the same miracles and even more miracles because he got his stuff and his stuff because he recognized the grace gift that was set in his life. And he understood that his job was to help them pull back the mysteries. If I'm not pulling back the mysteries, if I'm not exposing any light to anything that you're seeing in word, scripture, or your lifestyle, God, then I may not be your grace gift. But if I am, it's kind of hard, amen, to unknow what you know. Because one of the things that the ministry, that if it's yours, this is what he will do for you. The Bible said that he will keep you from being tossed like children, meaning immature, carried about by every wind. Have you ever seen some Christians, amen, and I don't care if they got titles as long as they're street. I don't care if they're a minister, a reverend, a preacher. Have you ever seen them walking in their title, but when the wind show up, they can't handle the wind? They're moved by the wind. Uh-huh. They don't understand that the wind is coming. The wind is coming if you're actually in what it is that God has purposed you to be in. The wind is coming. It has to come. But that's why God has set you with a gift, so that you're not tossed like children or immature believers, constantly always being moved by every little wind. And the hardest thing God can do, the hardest problem God is having with you is getting you still enough. It's not that you don't have your grace gift. You're just not still enough. You move too much. You got to stay still, stay steadfast, unmovable, so you can abound in the work of the Lord, for as much as you will begin to know that your labor won't be in vain if you can finally stay still. It's not just his grace. It's not just his ability to teach. It's your ability to learn. You got to have a teachable spirit. You got to humble yourself to walk worthy of the calling wherewith you were called. You got to, number one, walk in lowliness, meekness. Humble yourself. Commit. Woo. Commitment means that I will come home every night. That's what commitment means. It means whether I feel like it or not, I'm going to show up. I may have to drive the block a few times, but I'm going to show up. And every time I know that I show up, more lights keep coming on. Do you not know people run from ministry because they don't like the light shining in on their darkness? Because they're afraid of the change. But I've come to tell you that God got you in such a way now that you can't move even if you want to. And the light is shining, changing you without your permission. He's transfiguring you, didn't even ask you to do it. He just said, look, because you got close enough for the light to hit you, I'm going to change you in my glory.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm giving you these grips so that you may no longer be tossed by every wind and the trickery of men and the cunning and the deceitful plotting. God interrupted some of you all from some deceit, some cunning craftiness, because the light came on. When the light come on, the Bible says he who the Son has set free is free indeed. You can't fool me, amen, when I'm informed.
Amen.
You don't even know all the facts. I don't need to know the facts. The spirit of truth is bearing witness with the truth in me. And anything that is not endeavoring to keep the unity of the bond of peace in love is not of God. And therefore, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Don't listen to that wind. Sit down somewhere. Let the light keep shining. Let the light keep shining. Let the light keep shining. He said that he gave you these men so you can avoid the cunning craftiness and the trickery and the deceitful plotting of men. Are you here?
Uh-huh.
So that you may, verse 15, speak the truth in love, may grow up, that you may grow not out, but up. It's time to mature by finding your grace and sticking to it.
Yeah.
No, don't criticize it. Don't judge it, because you're considering those whose faith you're following, not their former conversation, but their faith. You're not after their history. You're after their faith. You're not even after the condition of the physical ministry. You're after the faith. And maybe the condition of the physical ministry would change if you would get yourself in a place where you could sit down. Maybe it's in you. Maybe the gift is in you. Maybe you don't even know it. Maybe you got to first learn to be meek. Maybe God is trying to teach you something, how to sit still, how to be subject to. Because you can't walk in authority and power until you learn to first be subject to some other authority and be faithful to it, even when it gets on your nerve, even when you got an opinion about it, even when you got a suggestion that is not heard, even if you don't get a chance to perform what it is you believe you can do better than anybody else. Maybe God is trying to humble you and get that arrogance out of you. How dare them let them just sit here like this when they know I can do this and do that. Nobody asks you what you can do. Because if you get it done now, the first thing you'll be doing is talking about what you did. And therefore, when they stop honoring you and calling your name, you're going to have an attitude, and then you're going to take your toys and go home, and then we'll have to start all over again anyway. Maybe God is humbling you first. And that's why every time he allows you, go right there into this, right there into that. And the only one got that light is when you show up under that grace, and that grace hits you in an area that you go, my God, did they just get me again? Yeah, because that's your grace. That's your grace. That's your grace. Trust me, there's some people that sit home on Sunday, they ain't satisfied sitting at home, they thinking about us. Grace. They may not when things are sunny, but trust me, when the storm comes, trust me, they know my number then. They know how to find me then. They amazingly can find me and become so sweet and meek and humble, so that you may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joins and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. the body will grow if every part in that body is working correctly. And it's working correctly when it can connect with another member of the body.
Mm-hmm.
And it will cause itself to grow, the Bible says. You can't connect to nobody because there's something wrong with you. I just don't see it. There's something wrong with you. There's some people just go anywhere. They can take, they can just connect. I can take my son any park in anywhere. And I promise you, if there's a kid there, if in 5 minutes, they are going to be best friends.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. Why? Because they don't have all that judgment in them. They don't have all that fear and all that past, all that pain, all that hurt, all that disappointment, all that rejection in them yet. They don't have none of that stuff. And they're just allowing their natural person to flow. The reason you can't connect to nobody is because there's too much pain in there.
Okay.
The reason you can't witness to nobody because you're not altogether free yet.
Okay.
The reason that your light isn't shining because there's something that's preventing your drains to flow. And so now you got to take of that grace and allow that grace to shine that light in those clogged areas. And dissipate the things of darkness so that you can walk in light and be his dear children and be imitators of God. But you can't do that with all that stuff in there. And God is calling you to your stuff. God is calling you to your gift. God is calling you to your grace so that he can heal you, so he can use you. Because the only reason he gave people like me a calling, gave us a grace, it's just simply so we can perfect you, mature you, speak life to you, so that you can go and do the work of the ministry and dominate. If I had time to talk about it, I would take you to the next part of this Ephesians where he talks about that we should not be like the walk like the Gentiles walk in the futilities of their minds. Gentiles and the futility, the emptiness, the vagueness of their minds. Because they're alienated from the life of God because they got darkness in them. And he says, we walk like them. Gentiles. Gentile is one without a covenant. He says, we're walking as if we have no word. We have no agreement. We have no authority. We have no promise. We're acting as such. We're operating in the futility of our mind. We're being mind-led in everything we do. Our mind is under attack. Our mind is under dominance. Our mind is under control right now. And we won't sit still enough long enough so that that light can shine in on our darkness. Don't run from the light. Walk into the light. Don't run from the house. Run to the house. Don't run from the doctor. Run to the doctor. You need surgery, find your surgeon. And sit. Until you see that mantle fall out the cloud, Elisha. And when you find it, you catch it. And once you catch it, then you start running. Catch what? What is the mantle? The mantle is the vision. Catch the vision. You won't get that in one session.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll get it in a series of them. As God just keeps revealing truth about you, maturing you, talking to you, ministering to you, receiving what God has to say about you, not saying amen only when it pertains to something that you know about somebody else across the room, but saying amen when it hits you right in your head.
Mm.
You understand what I'm saying? When it hits you right in your nugget, that's when you take it and you receive it and you grow from it. You're so busy looking and waiting on your word that you can't concern yourself about what's going on in somebody else's word. I'm trying to get my own. I didn't come to church to hear what God had to say to you. I came to church to hear what God had to say to me so that I can grow up, so that I can be in maturity, so that I can get out of the emptiness of my mind and grow up into the head, which is Christ, and therefore let God call me worthy. So when it's all said and done, he'll be able to say to me, job well done, thy good and faithful servant. You stuck to it. You stuck to it. Finally, give yourself a hand. Look at that. So that God can heal you. Anybody receive from the Lord? I'm going to have to stop right there. I don't have time to get into any more. I'm going to stop right there. Stop right there. God bless you. Give you a few moments to speak into the word for those of you that want to. Amen. The floor is open.
Good evening, sir. I just want to thank you for the teaching. One thing that stuck out to me tonight was this, the explanation, the details of the actual double portion, and the fact that not only was Elisha stuff unlocked, but he got the mantle of Elijah. And hearing this story and then hearing it today and hearing the unfolding of the double portion, that stands out to me, and I learned a great deal. That's still being unfolded to me, so thank you for that.
God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? Well, amen. Then I'm going to release those to go. We're going to pray, Father, in the name of Jesus. I thank you and I give you glory. And I give you honor for all things. So, Father, I bless you that your grace has reached us in places that the world and life had told us you couldn't. And I want to say thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the revelation of your word. I pray, Father, that it will take root into the hearts, spirits of the people, that they may grow from it favorably, Father, that it will increase them in their lives to come, that it will give them strength to stand when they want to fall, that it would guard them when they feel vulnerable, that it will keep them, Father, in the name of Jesus. Speak life to them continuously throughout the night and tell them Jesus' name we pray. Those that love the Lord says amen and amen. God bless your heart, and we'll talk to you tomorrow morning. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you.